Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Wonderful. Great to see you all. We have been on a bit of a journey this last week, and some of you have probably even been on a bit of a journey to be here or to be in Watford. Last Sunday, we kicked off kind of our passion countdown with Palm Sunday. On Thursday, we took the opportunity for those who made it. We did a Passover, a taster of Passover. And then on Friday, Good Friday, we looked at the crucifixion of Jesus and we looked at his death. And today we get to look at his resurrection. We get to see Jesus leave the grave behind. Now, I don't know about you, but has there ever been a situation or maybe even a place, Watford doesn't count, a place that you've needed to leave behind? You felt like, I need to get out of here. I need to leave this place behind. Not Wellspring Church, not during David's preach. But you know what? When I was 21, not just last week, I was in China and I was checking out some caves in China, as you do. And as I got into this cave, it was pretty good. It was one of the biggest caves I've ever seen. But as we went through it, it was getting a bit smaller. The light was getting less. And it got to a point where, as part of the cave journey, I had to lie down in a boat. Okay, and the boat had a rope on one side and it had a rope on the other side. And I had to lie down in this boat and kind of cross my arms and put my arms by my side. And they were going to kind of transport me under part of the cave whilst I was lying on a boat to the other side of the cave. And as I got into this boat, I started to think, caves isn't as much fun as I thought it was. And then as I started to pass under the rock face like this, just looking up, the light was vanishing on this side. It was damp. I could feel literally the temperature getting cold. Maybe it was just the boat. I don't know. And as I was going in, it was getting darker. And I remember thinking, am I ever going to come out the other side? What is on the other side? I really want to leave the situation behind. I really want to leave the cave right now. I want to leave this grave behind. Jesus left the grave, and it's my joy and privilege to usher us into knowing that we can leave the grave too. So as part of our series looking at the resurrection, or looking through the Passion Week, we've been in Isaiah 53. We've called it Lifted. It was our weaknesses he carried. Jesus, we're looking at the Messiah and what he's done for us as he died on the cross. So if you have your Bibles with you, it will be up on the screens. Chapter 53. We're only going to read two verses, 11 and 12. And the journey of Isaiah so far, as we've been looking at a servant figure who is the Messiah, we've journeyed through how humiliated, despised, mocked and killed he is. But it's not over. There's still these two verses, 11 and 12. There's more to the grave. So just a heads up, I'm reading the NIV, and the NIV may be a bit different to yours, because when I was checking this out, I noticed a lot of versions didn't have stuff that I have in mind, but just check on the screens if you want to compare. It says this: after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, don't know about you, have you ever heard that short phrase, which is really followed by your name? So for me, it would be, really, David? So I'm just inviting you into my brain, so watch out. A lot of the time, when I say something that I think is crazy, or I'm not sure, that doesn't make sense, I think, really, David? Did you really say that? Do you really mean that? Are you sure? are you really sure about that? Like, for example, I was playing a game with Hannah the other day, and I'd lost 5 games in a row. And then on the 6th game, I'd lost again, and I just couldn't work it out. And I was adding it up, and I just couldn't work it out. And Hannah was like, no, you're definitely beating me. She's not here to hear this gloating, but anyway. And she added it up for me, and I'd actually won. And I was like, really, David? How did I not get that? So something like that. Really? When we look at the resurrection, when those people in Isaiah's day, or the recipients of Isaiah, the audience of Isaiah heard what we've just read today, I think they would have been like, really, Isaiah? Is that what God said to you? Are you sure you're hearing right from God? Because, like, we've talked about death of the Messiah, which is hard enough because the Messiah is not supposed to die, right? He's supposed to set up the kingdom forever. But now you're saying there's more to life than the grave? There's something more? It's a life-changing, life-altering way of thinking. And some of them would have been wondering or just been trying to explain it or look to other things than understand what is going on here. I like to think of it as in, maybe the concept would be like me and my daughter, Sailor. She's 2.5, right? For all the years of her life, for 2.5 years, she's worn nappies, right? So that means when she needs to go, she just goes. Fair game, all game, it's all good. But just recently, in the last 2 weeks, I sat down in front of Sailor and I said, Sailor, you're not wearing nappies anymore. This is life-changing, life-altering. We're going to wear panties now. No, as in, you're going to wear panties. guys, stay with me here. And when you need to go to the toilet, for whatever reason, you just let daddy know, you just let mummy know, and we'll bring the potty to you, or you're going to use the big toilet seat with another little toilet seat on top. Life-changing for Sailor. And can I say life-changing for us as well? And you know what? She's still figuring it out. 2 weeks later, she's still trying to work it out. This doesn't make sense. This has changed her world. It changes things. So she's in a state of wonder, in a state of working out the options. What other options or alternatives are there to my detriment? But what I'm saying here is the resurrection, or Isaiah, what has been said here, what is being shared here, the word of God. Really? Does that make sense? Because that's life-changing. That was for the recipients of Isaiah. Let's now look at how Jesus' own disciples dealt with the resurrection, or the fact that there could be life after the grave. So again, if you've got your Bibles with you, don't worry if you haven't, they'll be on the screens. We're going to look at Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Okay, I'm there. Here we go. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man," watch this in Isaiah 53, "the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there, lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Nonsense. Wondering. They've heard about the resurrection. They've heard Jesus journey through with them that he was the Messiah. They even came to that conclusion themselves. It may have been a different Messiah than what they were hoping for, but the Jesus Messiah was actually going to fulfill Isaiah as well. And so when they get all this news, it's just so crazy. They must have been thinking, really, Jesus? He's alive? Really? The women came from the tomb. 10 of them just doubted, straight up, did not understand what was going on. They didn't believe it, even though Jesus said it was going to happen. It's in that text. He told them he was going to have to suffer, right? He told them he'd have to be raised to life after 3 days. Then Peter runs off to the tomb. He gets to the tomb, sees the empty tomb, sees the linen strips lying there. And we end with the phrase, wondering to himself what had happened. Wondering, what is this? What is the resurrection? What does this mean? What are the other explanations? What are the other options? See, Jesus appeared after he rose again over a 40-day period to different people, to different disciples. And yes, he appeared to tell them about the kingdom of God and telling them to go into all the world and preach the good news about the gospel. But he also just rocked up and turned up because he wanted to show he's still alive. He literally just wanted to prove to people, to convince them, to explain to them, I am resurrected. I am the resurrection. I am the life. You see, Mary Magdalene, the first person to meet the risen Jesus, thought he was a gardener. Now, fair play. I've heard Jesus sort of shape-shifted and could change his appearance and all that. So maybe she, you know, fair enough, she didn't recognize him. But her first words to him is, where have you put the body? She wasn't, there must be another explanation. There must be something else that's going on here. Think of Thomas, one of the disciples, spent a lot of time with Jesus, even meeting the resurrected Jesus, like, are those scars real? Can I just prod them? Can I just, you know, point at you? Or how about there's these two disciples on their road to Emmaus after the resurrection, or after at least the death of Jesus. They're going sad because Jesus has died. Now, they may not be part of the 12-man crew, but they're probably part of the 70 or 72. And so they're making their way down, and Jesus rocks up with them. Again, they don't recognize him, may not have looked exactly the same. But he takes the whole journey to explain the Old Testament, shares all about the Messiah, the sufferings he had to go through. And it's only at the point where they've actually sharing a meal together that through all that explanation, Jesus is resurrected. Just think about the disciples. Jesus? Really? Really, Jesus? You're going to resurrect? So that just leaves me to us today. Is that going through? Is that processing? Have you tried to explain it in a different way to yourself? Maybe you're wondering about the account. What is it like for you? Really, me? Do I believe the resurrection? And so my hope and prayer for us today is to discover or rediscover something of the wonder and the power of resurrection. You see, for some people, the resurrection really hasn't been thought over. And I want to take this time now to think over some things. You see, I checked online because I knew I'd heard something about this some other time. So I checked a survey that the BBC did in 2017 with 2,000 Christians, above 2,000 Christians. And as part of the survey, they asked these 2,000 Christians, how many of you believe in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus? 25% of them didn't. Okay? But these people say they're Christians. Traditionally, nominally, I understand that. What saddens me is we understand that to be a Christian, you have to believe in the resurrection, but you have to have a relationship with Jesus because he is risen. But are we contemplating that life, that resurrection life, that relationship with him? You see, if the resurrection is true, then what we read in Isaiah 53 about Jesus stepping into, being rewarded, the light of life, that he was satisfied for all the pain and suffering, for the death he took on, that was taken onto himself, and that actually the light of life was a conqueror of the grave. And therefore, with the spoils, the reward, the victory of overcoming the grave, he gets to disperse these spoils out to all those who would believe. He gets to give out life and the light of life to people. That is our reality if you believe. See, when people talk about life, they define life as breathing, right? You breathe your lungs in, out, or maybe your heart's beating. Can I just share? I know many people who are breathing. I know many people who've got their hearts beating, but they're not experiencing life. You know, life is not defined by that biology. Life is defined by having God's presence in your life. Life is defined by a relationship with God and walking in his will and working towards his purposes. That is the fullness of life. Anything outside of that, I'm sad to let you know, is death. Or the destination is death. In Christ, there is life. So, here's some 3 points that we can get from believing in the resurrection. The first one is, we can leave the grave behind. Let me share that again. You can leave the grave behind. What I mean by this is that in our human nature, in our human frailty, you know, sin has come in, and sin, selfishness, those things, they've acted as a barrier to God. What that actually has led us in, because sin is outside of God. We've ended up on a route of decay, death, and destruction. Sin basically builds our own grave for us and puts us in there. The challenge is when we realize our troubles, when we realize the pain and suffering we've caused, and we try and undo that, we go to leave, but sin is the boulder that's got us blocked in. It's got us stuck in our ways, stuck in the dark, trapped and imprisoned. And what that sin, that boulder really is, that tombstone, that is separation from God. That is without God. But because God is life, life in all its fullness, the creator and sustainer of life, because he's so about life, he made a decision to die. Just think about that. The fullness of life decided to go against everything that it is in existence and died so that we can have life, so that we could step out the grave. You see, God loves you so much, not because of anything you've done, but because of who he is. And see, just as Jesus' tombstone was rolled aside, let me tell you, your sin has been rolled aside. The things that have entrapped you in the grave has rolled aside. You are free to leave the grave, to live a new life and enjoy the light of life. Here's what I love about Jesus so much. He doesn't come into the grave and pick you up and take you out. He loves you so much that he lets you to decide, even though he's gone through the cross and everything, that can be wasted, you know. But he gives the option, come out. You can come out. He calls to you, and this is in Isaiah as well. Isaiah, one of the servant passages, he calls out to those who are imprisoned. He calls out to the captive, come out. Be free. Come out of darkness. And that is an invitation to each and every one of us again today. You are not stuck. You don't need to be separated from God. You can leave the darkness. You can leave the shadows. And you can come out and have a relationship with God. Later on, we're going to give the opportunity for those who feel like they've somehow not been able to get out. Or maybe they've been out, but they feel they've gone back to the grave. We're going to give the opportunity for people to leave that dead space and to give their life again over to Christ. The second point I have is leave the grave clothes behind. If you believe in the resurrection, then you believe in freedom. In fact, you not just believe in a form of freedom, you believe in complete freedom. No restrictions, no limitations. Now, notice in the account in Luke, when Peter goes in, he sees the strips of linen cloth lying there. Jesus left the grave clothes behind. And here's the amazing thing, we can leave them behind too. But there's a difference. You see, Jesus left them behind in the tomb because they were never his. They were never his. He took on ours and he dealt with them and he left them once and for all in the grave. But when Jesus resurrected somebody, one of them was called Lazarus. And he did the same with Lazarus in the tomb. He calls out to Lazarus, come out. But when Lazarus comes out or hops out, he's in the grave clothes. He's in the linens. And when he comes out the grave, it's at that point Jesus says to his friends, help him, unbind him, unwound him. Make sure he can be free. Because you know what? The grave clothes should not be what you're wearing when you're living. The grave clothes aren't destined for your life when you have the light of life. They don't belong to you anymore. They belong in the grave. But here's the challenge. Here's the real difficult part. We can say yes and amen, all we like to that. But some of us are hiding in the grave because we don't want people to see the grave clothes that we've got. See, Jesus wants to bring liberation and freedom to each and every one of us. He does, but part of that process means we come into the light and we get it dealt. We get it dealt with in the light. We can't do it on our own in the grave. We can't get fixed in the grave by ourselves. And this is what's so beautiful about this passage about Lazarus, is Jesus has designed his bride, his church, to be the ones who gracefully, unjudgmentally help you unwind all that restricts you and binds you. Those things, I don't know what it could be. It could be addiction. It could be pride. It could be insecurities. A whole manner of things that we have. That's all right to come into Christ. Like, we're just coming to know Jesus in a relationship with God. But we need to step out. And it's in the light, in the grace and mercy of God and amongst his family that those things can be dealt with. Let's not hide in the grave. I don't know about you. Have you ever tried getting changed in the dark? Does not work for me. Inside out clothes. Some of you are looking right now and thinking, I did get changed in the dark. This is not Hannah's top. This is mine. Thank you very much. Zara. Don't stay in the dark and think you can get fixed by your own strength. Come into the light. It's the only way. And when you come into the light, let grace and mercy abound and help you. Now, here's the challenge. Some people who have come into the light, yeah, instantaneous. Somehow they've got freedom for things you've been struggling with for ages. Some people, it's a long, long journey. Some people, it's quick time. Some people, it's a process that takes a long time. However, despite your timing of taking over those bandages or taking off what grave clothes you have, it is a process of purpose because you're in relationship with God. I know it may not happen the speed you want it to. I know you may want to walk in a greater freedom straight away. But trust God. Trust the relationship you have with him, that in his perfect timing, you will be unbound. You will be set free. I wonder what you need to be freed from. I wonder what you need to be made free from. What's binding you? What needs to be left behind, dropped? I'm not saying you have to have it all sorted in the grave already. God just wants us out the grave so we can enjoy a relationship with him. Then we go through this process of taking off those grave clothes. Please don't wait. If today could be your day of removing some restrictions or at least bringing them to God, then do it. Don't waste another time being bound or left in the grave. A resurrection life awaits you, and the fullness of life awaits you with God. Finally, leave the grave remains behind as well. So last week on Sunday, where's my stone at? Last week on Sunday, we were given stones. These stones were to represent what weighs us down, what causes heaviness to us. And we were asked to hold them and carry them, and then we were going to bring them to the foot of the cross either on Thursday or Friday. Or if you've got it today, please do bring it at the end of the service to the foot of the cross, because Jesus carried it all, everything. In fact, everything that Jesus carried ended up breaking him. That's what crushed him. That's what crushed him. He carried everything. He didn't miss a thing. But the fantastic thing is Jesus rose to life and overcame it. He managed to carry it. And Tim on Friday showed what was put on the cross. So sorry, I've messed up the order, but if you want to check. Tim sprayed on the cross pain and shame. And this is a reality. We could feel bad. We could feel guilty because it was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. But here's the deal. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's risen. We are responsible for our sins, yes, but Jesus was responsible for making the decision to free us from those sins, free us from those guilt, to even forget what you seem to condemn yourself with. It's done. It is covered. It is written. It is gone. White cross. It's no longer even there. So stop putting on a cross on your back that you're not supposed to be carrying. The cross you're supposed to carry is the ministry of Jesus. Here you go. The stone is a simple reminder of what weighs us down. And I took it and I just sat with God. And I thought, there's some things that come straight to mind. This needs to be carried by you, God. But I asked God, I journaled because I had the week. I said, God, what is it that you want me to share with you, to bring to you? I gave it. I didn't answer it straight away. And something spoke to me because I put this in my bag. Not this one, but one like this. Put it in my bag and I forgot about it. I got loads of stuff in my bag. I put it in my bag, forgot about it. It was only when I was intentional and I started praying, I realized, oh, I've been carrying something. Can I say that some of the debris from the grave, some of the remains of the grave we are carrying and we don't even realize. We're ignorant of those things. We don't know. They're unrealized. And God wants us to give them to him. And the thing is, I didn't even realize it. It was only until I asked God. And I'm going to share with you what God shared to me. You see, I have been journeying some things without God just because it's like, well, it's what I'm going to do. And God wants to give it all. God wants to take it all from me. So I'm planning to do a loft conversion because I've got a second child on the way. And I'm a bit worried about the timing of that, if I'm going to be honest. It's not a great time to be doing a loft conversion if the child comes before the loft conversion is finished, right? I'm also realizing in September, my daughter, Sailor, is probably going to be starting preschool. So all those things, I've been carrying them and I've been stressed by them and I hadn't realized God wants to carry them and journey with them for me. He wants to do the same for you. I just wonder, what things have you been unaware of that maybe God's trying to get you to realize? There's some lifestyles of the grave in you that you take for yourself when actually it's not for yourself. It's to be left behind. Look, God's power got you out the grave. Why do you think now you need to operate in your own power, in your own strength? I'm trying to carry things left, right, and center in my own strength. And Jesus is saying, no, it's only by my power. It's only by me you can do these things. Stop trying to live his will in your own strength. That's how amazing it is. God gives us himself to live out his will. You can't do it in your own strength. Maybe some of you think, just in case Jesus didn't carry this bit, or just in case Jesus wasn't aware of this, God did it all. Everything. The sole amount of sin, shame, pain, guilt, addiction, things that cause decay, death, and destruction have been dealt with. You do not need to carry anything alone. In fact, God wants to take that off you and wants to do a journey with you. So as I finish, I'm going to encourage you. Leave the grave behind. Leave all that is involved with the grave behind. There's some things that we need to actually ask God to be like, can you help me be aware of these things? Because I don't even realize the fullness of your life. And we want to share it all and hand that over to God. So as the band begin to play, I'm going to finish with a question for you. And hopefully, you know, this is something that will be ministered through now. But I want you to take this question seriously. Take this question with you. If you want to experience the light of life, you have to leave the grave behind. If you want the fullness of what light of life is, you need to be free. And you also need to be aware of things that you shouldn't be carrying. This is not something you can do in your own strength. What does it mean? What does it mean for you to leave the grave behind? What does it really mean for you to be free?
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.